The sermon for today is entitled Serving Joyfully with the Mind of Christ. But to be more specific, I would add living a cruciform life in the shape of the cross. You see, true joy is not experienced when you ask, "What can the church do for me?" But rather, joy results from when you ask what you can do for the church. Now, how do you discover joy? The epistle to the church pastors and elders and deacons, the leadership in the church in Philippi, Paul claims that joy is found in chapter 1. Joy is found in suffering. In chapter 2, he says joy is found in serving. In chapter 3, you can have joy in believing. And in chapter 4, Paul testifies that joy is found in giving. Around 62 AD, while Paul was in a Roman prison, he wrote this most joy-filled letter. In fact, Philippians references joy or rejoicing 16 times in only 104 verses. This week, as you read, as I know that you all will, chapter 3 in Thom Rainer's book, I Am a Church Member, and as you reflect on discussion questions for Wednesday night's prayer time and our Bible study that runs through October 20th, you will discover that joy can only be experienced when you model Christ's example. Living a cross-shaped life, a cruciform life. I think it, since it's only 11 verses, I want to kind of circle around and have us go through those 11 verses. So if you will please follow along with me in your Bible as we read verses 1 through 11 again from chapter 2 in Paul's epistle to the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Now it's interesting here that in our pew Bibles, it only has the word "if" used one time in verse 1. In other translations, the New King James and a lot of other translations, Paul actually has four preconditions to him receiving joy. And so let me read it this way. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any incentive of love, if there is any participation in the Spirit, and number four, if any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourself. Golly, those first three verses, if I would just tattoo that on myself and that would be what I would live by, I would have a very wonderful, joyful life. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this same mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now, here's a side comment. Verses 6 through 11 in the early church, these verses 6 through 11 was actually a hymn. So you can actually sing these verses 6 through 11. Let me start again on that verse 6. Have this among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Verse 9. Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. What a beautiful job you did, Lori, in the children's message. Name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And Paul actually uses from the Old Testament Isaiah 45:23, and then references Romans 14:11, that every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord bless each and every one of you unceasingly in the reading of His Word together. What's interesting here is that doesn't mean that every person will receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but they will acknowledge Him. My prayer, your prayer, the prayer of the Christian church is that no soul be lost. And that it is my prayer that every knee that bows, every tongue that confesses Jesus Christ, that they confess Him as their personal Lord and Savior, that no one would perish but have everlasting life. That's why in our mission here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont is proclaiming the gospel. Now let me state my main point in another way. To live a cross as life pattern. To live a cross as life pattern does not just mean you simply know Christ, but such a life shares in His suffering and is conformed to His death. Only such a life, a cruciform life, can begin to know the power of His resurrection. You see, as we participate in His suffering and in His death, we will be able to experience the power of His resurrection and experience the kind of joy that Paul desired for himself, for the Philippian church. And may I say this, the joy he is expressing is for you too. In my daily prayers for each and every single one of you, I beseech the Lord to help you put on, like you put on your clothes today, to put on the same mind of Christ that Paul referenced in Philippians 2, verse 5. And that you draw upon His Spirit to the fullest extent possible in all things. To discover and experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, there it is. Peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We have to follow. No, I would say this. Brothers and sisters, we must follow Christ's example. For our passage today, I would like to point out what I call the three important S's of joy. S number one is servanthood. S number two is selfless. And S number three is sacrificial. But before I do, let us see if Rainer's survey that he has in chapter 3 of the 10 dominant behavior patterns of church members reflect what a cross-shaped life is supposed to look like. His researchers did not reveal evidence of unity and oneness among its members today, but rather found extreme division and divisiveness over things like worship wars, people complaining about an order of service or what songs hymns we sing, whatever it may be, that they war over how all this is supposed to happen, and they get hung up in the ritual or the tradition and are not focusing in on the face of God. They have prolonged minutia meetings. They give icon status to being so facility focused that they don't see the living God dwelling within. And that's who we serve and fix our focus on. The survey pointed out that they were being program focused rather than on God's greater ministry, and that is to reach the lost, ministering to the poor, the homeless, the widows, the orphans, the outcasts, the marginalized of our society, not just those overseas. And I have been there. But we have them right outside in the front of our street. This survey pointed out that there was an inward focus on the budget. There was an inordinate demands for pastoral care. There was attitudes of entitlements. There was a greater concern about change rather than spreading of the gospel message. There was a lot about anger and hostility towards the pastor, the staff, and towards one another. And the behavior also that saddens me the most, that I actually start to cry, and that is that they have an evangelical apathy or an indifference where they cared more about their own needs rather than the greatest eternal needs of the world and community in which we live. These are not the signs of a functioning church. These are not evidence of a unified church of many members who work together as one body. These do not demonstrate to the world what the bride and the body of Christ is supposed to look like that would compel the lost to seek salvation in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must follow Jesus' footsteps, and we must model His example. Jesus demonstrated those three important S's. The first one is servanthood. Be a servant to all. Look at these 11 verses again today. Jesus gave us the model. These are not Ron Rollis' words. I am only a herald. I am only a herald. These are the Lord's words to us today, that we are to be practice servanthood, to be a servant to all. That means giving up all of our rights and all of our preferences. That means sacrifice to serve, not to be served. We need to have a mindset of Christ, the mind of Christ, to serve others, not ourselves. To serve and not look to be served. To be one who serves everyone else. The second S is selfless. Read there in Philippians 2, 1 through 11. It made it very clear. What should our selflessness be? Our selflessness must be obedience, how far to obey? All the way to our cross. We are to be obedient and selfless all the way to our cross. We are not to just carry our cross. We are to be obedient all the way to our cross. Being God, He still emptied Himself. Why? In order to serve the needy. He refused to control. He never used His power for Himself. You must never use your power of influence for yourself. God gives you for a season the ability to control the things around you for a distinct purpose, and that is always to glorify God. And how could you serve the person sitting next to you, to your right, to your left, in front of you, and behind you? Even if you are only in your room and that's as far as you could go, people who come into your sphere of influence, serve them. Be selfless. And what is the reward that God gave to Jesus? A name that is above all names. And if you practice that example in your own life, God, I'm telling you right now, God will exalt you as well. The third S, the first one is servanthood. The second one is selfless. And the third one is sacrificial. I can't say it any more clearer. Put others first. Choose to be last. Choose to be last. Live a life of humility. Live a life of love. Live a life of service. If we choose to do so, know this. You will live a life that is joyful. You know why? Because God's Holy Spirit is within us and is the source of everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. If we begin today doing our own self-assessment and ask God to have you put on the fullness of the mind of Christ, do you know that God will? I want to repeat that so that nobody forgets this. Sometimes when I was on the battlefield, and sometimes when the Afghans or the Iraqis didn't understand what I was saying, I was not being funny, but every once in a while I would tell them, read my lips, because I wanted them to really pay attention. And that is this. If you ask God to have you put on the fullness of the mind of Christ, He will. How do you know that He will? Because it is His will, and He promises to answer us when we pray in accordance with His will. You just need to ask. Then step out in faith as a church member. No matter how you feel, because always remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. And walk in the footsteps that Christ has already laid out before us. It is my prayer for every single one of you that each and every one of you would be a servant to all. Servanthood. That each and every single one of you would be obedient and be selfless. And that each and every one of you would always put others first, sacrificial. Serve without hesitation. Don't balk. The true question you should be asking yourself before the Lord today is this. What can I do for my church? What can I do for my church? As you do, then the sweet fruit of joy will be your reward. This is how our church will remain united, held together in steadfast love. Why? Because each of us wants the other person. I get goosebumps. Listen to this. Why? Because each of us, I want Lori and Lori wants me. And each one of you want the other in our church to be more like Christ. That's the goal, to be more like Christ. We are to live cruciformly. The cross is not just about how Christ died for our sins. That's only a part of the story. The cross is not just about Christ who died for our sins. It is about telling us how to live. It offers us a life pattern of how we are to come together and worship. It offers a life pattern of how we are to build our Christian relationship with one another. It offers a life pattern that allows us to refocus how we use our gifts, our talents, our times, and our treasures in accomplishing our mission. Our mission at First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina, is to proclaim the gospel, make disciples, and serve others. God has just told you today how to do that. It is my prayer for each of you today to live a cross. Listen to this. I want you to live a cross-carrying Easter Friday. Get that in your mind. Easter is Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's dying. I want you to live a cross-carrying Easter Friday life by the power of a resurrection Easter Sunday, which thrusts you into a daily life of humble service like that of Jesus. Live a life carrying your cross, suffering as Jesus suffered, as though it's always Friday. But know this, you have the power of Sunday's resurrection. If you need prayer and support today, please feel free to come forward and let us pray with you right now. We have deacons that would be glad to do that with you. The Lord is waiting for you. You come.